The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Yeah, it's Thursday. That means it's me and my man, Dan Orlovsky. He will be one of the people on the show because I got some NFL stuff to school him about. My man, Jay Williams, is going to be in the house because LeBron had very, very interesting things to say that we cannot avoid. That is coming up. I got my man, Roland Mort, showing up in the house. He's coming up. I got NFL. I got NBA. And guess what, Dan Orlovsky? Is this familiar tune? Is this a familiar tune to you? You know what that is, Dan? That's about politics, baby. I'm sitting next to the First Lady. Wait till y'all check out the First Lady. The First Lady. Trust me, when the cameras roll, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I take
first
that as a compliment.
First takes in the house. Let's go.
Off the play fake, gives it to Gilliam, trying to make some people miss. Touchdown, Buffalo! Pick six, Buffalo! And it's all Bills tonight!
This is a big situation here for this Bills offense.
An amazing strike thrown by Josh Allen. Do I need to tell you that it's not over yet? First down field is kicked off! They pick off Patrick Mahomes! The Buffalo Bills win their fourth straight. The Green Bay Packers lose their fourth straight.
Everyone around the country's watching. Josh Allen, you want to win the MVP this year? This is your drive.
To the end zone. Yes! It is intercepted by Patrick Peterson!
The snap is good. The kick is long enough. It is up. It is good. A 45-yard field goal for Tyler Bass to put the Bills on top.
It's V-Week on ESPN as we continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer.
Like, I'm coming on TV, and what are people going to be waiting for? You know, but I take it as a compliment. What an honor to be a First Lady in the good country of America.
First Lady.
It is
First
good Lady. To have me on your side.
Yes.
Dan Orlovsky, good morning. Good to see
What's
you.
What's up, Molly?
Good morning, Dan Orlovsky.
And he is right about this
I just
one.
Have one thing I want to say to Molly. I'm Stephen A. Smith.
And I approve this message.
I approve this message. Yeah.
Dan,
See,
I have nothing to say because he's so spot on. How are you this morning?
Well, Molly, at least you're on time. You know, at least you're on time.
Yeah.
Some of us can't say that this week.
You haven't seen him.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. Stephen A., to be honest with you, when in my profession, when we were late, it was a $10,000 fine. And I don't know if that's in your contract with ESPN, but maybe a gift to Molly. You know, for it's like a mea culpa of the apology. That could be something.
I got a suggestion. I will give her. I will get Molly a gift. Christmas is coming up, okay? But you know what else I'll do, Dan? I'll buy you and your wife a first class ticket.
I'm gonna hold you to that.
How about that?
I take it back. I'll buy your wife a first class ticket and let you sit and coach on the same flight. That's what you deserve.
I'll still take that.
Yeah, see, that's
Molly,
bad.
I wouldn't have gone First Lady with you. You know, I got nothing but love for you. But I would.
Thank you.
There's a little nutcracker in there.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
Let's go.
I actually feel slightly embarrassed. See, producer's helping out. Dan, you have a great tie on, by the way. Thursday
Thank
Night
you.
Football, we got a good one tonight. It's an AFC East matchup when the Bills travel to the Patriots. Buffalo will be without Von Miller, who suffered a knee injury on Thanksgiving in Detroit. The AFC East has been dominant, and it's led by the Bills and Dolphins, who are tied for first in the division, but not so fast. All four teams have a winning record, fellas. The Jets are sitting one game out of first place, and they have just a 3% chance to win the division, while the Patriots have less than a 1% chance. That, according to our analytics, Buffalo favored by 4. Dan, which team needs the win more, you think?
Oh, Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo, this is a must-win game. tonight for Buffalo. They're 8-3 right now, 0-2 in their division. If they lose tonight, they sit 0-3 in their division. And in the games left, they still have to play. In the next 2 weeks, they still have to play the Jets again. They're still going to have to play the Miami Dolphins again. And then week 18, New England comes to them. So if you look at a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, a team that we believe is a legit contender to get there, to sit 0-3 in your division would almost be impossible to come back from. Not only do they need the number one seed or desire the number one seed for location of play, this team's beat up and they need a break at some point. And that first round bye is going to be huge. We think about Josh Allen with his elbow. Deion Dawkins, their starting left tackle, is not going to play tonight because he's nursing injuries. Poyer's missed some time. And the reality is this, with Von Miller's situation, and I said this Monday or Tuesday, if Von is going to be out for an extended period of time, I think they're waiting a week or two to see how long he'll be out. They need to go get OBJ. That extra week of having OBJ would be huge. Here's the reality for this football team. If they lose tonight, they sit at 8-4. That means they would be behind Miami and behind KC within the conference. They would be even with Tennessee, Baltimore, and Cincinnati and the Jets, and they would just be one game ahead of both the Patriots and the Chargers. Not only are we sitting here going, my goodness, are they going to win the division? You start to see, like, yo, are they going to get passed by to even get into the playoffs? I think that's a long shot. I'll be clear on that. But this team needs to win tonight. Buffalo, this is a must win for Buffalo.
I'm not trying to deny that it's a must win. I'm not trying to deny that the win is important, Dan Orlovsky. But I would say the level of urgency falls on the shoulder of the New England Patriots, not the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills, even with a loss tonight, can recover because they've got three games left within the division. If they're already tied for first place, they've already lost to Miami. I got all of that. And if they were playing Miami tonight, then that would be different because Miami has an identical record. Miami already beat them. And on top of it all, if they would have beat them tonight, if they were playing Miami, that would be two victories that Miami got over them, not just one. But because it's New England and you've got New England, the Jets, and Miami on your schedule over the last 5 or 6 weeks or so for this regular season, I would beg to differ with that. I'm going to say this is about New England. New England is in last place in the AFC East. New England has playoff aspirations. New England loses this game. You know what? They're in dire, dire straits in terms of potentially making the postseason. So we've got to take that into consideration, and we can't ignore that. Secondly, when you look at New England and what they bring to the table, I'm just looking at their schedule right here, Dan. You got a quarterback that's thrown like 6 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, even though he's completing a decent percentage of his passes at 69%. Better than decent, actually. Ramondre Stevenson, obviously, and Damian Harris can run the football effectively. You've got this guy, Jacoby Myers as your leading receiver, okay? But 6 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, relatively pedestrian for Mac Jones. And then we got to take this into consideration. After the Bills, you got road games at Arizona and Las Vegas, 2 games they could lose. You got home games against the Bengals and Dolphins, 2 games they'd be expected to lose, and then you got a road game to close out the season against the Buffalo Bills. That is a big-time schedule. They're in dire straits. I think the level of urgency to win tonight definitely falls on the shoulders of the New England Patriots more so than Buffalo. I get what you're saying in terms of Super Bowl aspirations. You crawl before
That's
you
everything.
Walk. In the case of New England, try to make the postseason. And that would be in jeopardy. Buffalo's going to the postseason.
But coming into the season, two things here. One, unquestionably, the Buffalo Bills were a Super Bowl contender and or, in many eyes, a Super Bowl favorite. Okay. The Patriots were a fringe playoff team. We're like, we'll see. New offensive coordinators. These were defensive. Like, there was always concern and hesitation for New England to begin with. 21 out of the last 22 teams that have played in the Super Bowl, meaning in the last 11 years, those teams have won their division. If Buffalo loses tonight, it's hard to see how they win their division. They'll be sitting 0-3. So we go back to late August, early September, and we look at the expectations for this football team and where their goals were set. And then we get to the first week in December, and all of a sudden we're going, holy smokes. This team is in dire straits right now. To get to where they expected, we're expected to potentially win the division, and they're going to have to claw and fight to get into the playoffs. I just told you all those teams that are going to be in the running with them. And so Buffalo, for them to get to the Super Bowl, they got to win their division. 21 of the last 22 teams that played in the Super Bowl won their division. The only team who didn't was Tampa Bay in 2020. And guess what? They didn't have to play in full stadiums. You think Buffalo's going to be able to go win three road games in a row this year in the playoffs? I think that's a tall ask.
I think it is a tall ask, but I think that they're capable of achieving tall ask. Whereas when you look at the New England Patriots, that ain't the case. We're
They'll
talking about a team that's trying to make the postseason.
I understand that.
But they can do it. They've got the talent to do it. They got a star quarterback that can help to pull it off. They're not weak when it comes to coaching. They're not weak when it comes to the offense. Obviously, Von Miller needs to be healthy because obviously that elevates the level of expectations we may associate with them. But in the end, it's not a dead end. It's not the end of the world. It's daunting, no doubt. But they have the ability to overcome. New England does not. New England doesn't win this game, and I don't know if they will. But if they don't win this game, I don't think New England's going to the postseason. Not that I'm questioning whether or not they would anyway.
I agree with that. I'll ask you this. So if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, the Dolphins, or let's say the Ravens, who do you think they want to lose this game?
I understand it, Buffalo, but I understand that. But that's because you're thinking about Buffalo having home field advantage. To me, I think that Buffalo travels. I think that if Buffalo is on their game, it don't matter where they are. New England needs ideal circumstances. Buffalo does not. They just got to get their act together and stop turning the ball over in the red zone. Nah, that, to me, is what I view when I look at the Buffalo Bills.
If Buffalo doesn't win this game tonight, they don't go to the Super Bowl. That's how I feel.
Okay. Mm.
And if the Pats win tonight, our analytics right now give them a 19% chance to make the playoffs. And if they get the dub, a 36%.
You really do look like a first lady. You really do. Really do. You
That's
look
a like compliment, I would imagine.
She looked like she running for office, man.
It
she
is
really
a compliment.
Does.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Very classy. Yes. Let's carry on.
Yes.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All right, Dan will be back in just a minute. Despite dominating the Blazers 128-109, who suffered their third straight loss as they await the return of Damian Lillard, LeBron James, who finished with 31 points, 7 rebounds, and 8 assists, had other things On his mind, LeBron wanted to know why he had not been asked about a photograph that recently surfaced showing Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones at the age of 14 peering over a crowd of white students who were attempting to block six black students from entering the doors of North Little Rock High School in 1957. Here's LeBron addressing the media and that concerning visual postgame.
I was wondering why I haven't gotten a question from you guys about the Jerry Jones photo. But when the Kyrie thing was going on, you guys were quick to ask us questions about that.
Okay.
Hold on. And I don't even want you guys to say nothing. When I watched Kyrie talk and he says, I know who I am, but I want to keep the same energy when we're talking about my people and the things that we've been through. And that Jerry Jones photo is one of those moments that our people, black people, have been through in America. And I feel like as a black man, as a black athlete, as someone with power and a platform, when we do something wrong or something that people don't agree with, it's on every single tabloid, every single news coverage. It's on the bottom ticker. It's asked about every single day. But it seems like to me that the whole Jerry Jones situation photo, and I know it was years and years ago and we all make mistakes, I get it. But it seemed like it's just been buried under like, oh, it happened. Okay, we just move on. And I was just kind of disappointed that I haven't received that question from you guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, here's the photo in question, which was published by the Washington Post on November 23rd. Jay Williams joining the conversation. Great to have you, Jay.
Whatever you want, baby.
Jay, I'll start with you. Your reaction to all of this.
Do you mind if I just have a moment, Stephen A., sure. I look into the camera?
Sure.
I just want to specifically ask Jerry Jones to denounce racism. I think it's very important with where we're at in this time in history right now. I didn't hear him do that with Colin Kaepernick. His silence was heard all over the country as related to George Floyd. And here was another opportunity where, frankly, Stephen A., I felt like his answer felt to me it was above approach, right? He was above the matter. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Mm-hmm. It's Jerry Jones, our friend. I think that's very important. And I say that because I don't condone the 14-year-old kid during that. Like, I agree with you. We're on the same page. 14-year-old kid, curiosity. Yeah. But sometimes in life, there's good people and there's bad people. And what happened on his commentary when he was addressed about this, which he had multiple days to think about, the direct quote was, I don't know that I or anybody anticipated or had a background of knowing what was involved. It was more of a curious thing. Mm-hmm. Why is Jerry Jones absolving the hundreds of people who were around him who had different intention? Why is he speaking for everybody's intention? When you could tell that maybe he was curious, but there were a lot of people there who weren't curious. There were a lot of people there who were racist, and that's okay to say. What was even more concerning for me is that when Kyrie Irving posts a pic of Hebrews to Negroes, we automatically come to the table by saying, you need to denounce anti-Semitism. But Jerry Jones didn't denounce racism, right? It felt like he deflected. And how come he didn't use words, Stephen A., like that moment was a grotesque time in history. Mm-hmm. It was monstrous. It was ugly. Those kids didn't deserve that. But his whole approach, Stephen A., felt like he was above that. Now, I know there are power dynamics in how this whole situation works. Kyrie Irving is an employee, Jerry Jones, an owner of a team. And I get that people are going to say, well, at the end of the day, if it doesn't affect Jerry Jones' bottom line, then he's going to stay away from that. And what I'm trying to say right now, for where we're at in this time of history, you need to choose a side. Because that moment, Jerry Jones, the 80-year-old man, reminded me of the 14-year-old kid still being curious. And you can't be curious when you're in a position of power in the NFL representing hundreds of black people that work for your organization. The players have asked you to speak up about things like this. I just feel like it was a very missed opportunity for him. Now, I'm not saying Jerry Jones is racist, but I need him to publicly address. And I'm also curious, Stephen A., what he has learned from this experience. We talk about holding people accountable, holding their feet to the fire. I'm curious about what he has learned from this entire situation, because that's what we asked of Kyrie Irving.
You know, I love what you just said. I actually want to thank you for what you just said, because I don't disagree with a single word. Here's what I want everybody to understand, and this is why I went off about it on my podcast, No Mercy, because you got people that wanted to come at me in the wrong way. I stand by what I said in regards to a 14-year-old in a still photo, and that's what you want to use to jump on them. You just highlighted there's plenty of other things to jump on Jerry Jones about. Mm. You ain't never hired a black coach. You didn't stand up for Colin Kaepernick and his rights as an American citizen to do what he did. You didn't speak out initially. You were actually hiding when it came to social justice issues, Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones would tell you, I told him that. Mm. Where you at? I don't give a damn what you say. Say something. You got to speak up. You can't be quiet. But that's entirely different than using the still photo of a 14-year-old standing in a crowd in 1957, pre-civil rights, pre-voting rights, because clearly the climate of those times were what it was. Do we need to regurgitate what the hell was going on in the Jim Crow South? We all know that story. Lynchings, murders, rapes, mayhem, all types of stuff, all types of insidious, despicable pain. Things that was done and inflicted upon the black race. We understand what the hell was going on down there. So if you're Jerry Jones and you're standing in the crowd, I'm looking at how you're acting more than I'm looking at what the environment is. Because to me, that environment was all over the damn South. That's how I view it. And so I don't want to go against, I don't want to go on a photo. You got to have more evidence than that. What you pointed to is more evidence. Now let's get to LeBron, because I want everybody to understand. I can't applaud LeBron enough for what he said. Mm-hmm. I 1,000% agree with LeBron James, because that wasn't about Jerry Jones. If you're listening, as my man Joe Madison, the Black Eagle on Urban View Radio, would say every morning, that was, you got to listen with the third ear. What LeBron was talking about was, where's the intensity? You ask Kyrie these questions, you bombard him one point after another after another. And we know what level of friction I have with Kyrie mm-hmm. and his peeps. But even I came on national TV and like, nah. Y'all crossing the damn line now with these demands and these stipulations and all of this other stuff. Then I interviewed the CEO of the Anti-Defamation League on my podcast, Jonathan Greenblatt. He said, we had nothing to do with that. We didn't put those demands out there. We didn't ask for all of that. We didn't call for him to be suspended. We had nothing to do with that. Okay, fine. So the Anti-Defamation League didn't have anything to do with that. So they say, fair enough. But what LeBron was talking about is unavoidable. The media. Trump says something. They asked LeBron about it. They asked LeBron about the presidential campaign when Trump was running against Hillary Rodham Clinton. Now, obviously, him endorsing Hillary Rodham Clinton had something to do with that. But clearly, LeBron James has been subjected to question after question after question. But suddenly, when it came to Jerry Jones, you didn't ask? Because I assure you, if I was in that press room, I would have asked LeBron about it. I would have said, yo, mm-hmm. LeBron, by the way, how do you feel about this? Even when I took the position that I took about a still photo of a 14-year-old, I still would have asked LeBron that question. The fact that he wasn't asked that question and he had waited and he had to bring up the subject to a media in the year 2022 gives credence and buffers the argument that Kyrie Irving was making when Kyrie said, where's the intensity when our people's going through stuff, mm-hmm. when we've been afflicted? Y'all gonna have the same momentum, the same passion. You gonna bring that to the table? That's what LeBron was calling out. And that brings in the point into the equation, the biggest point that was being made. The media is the fourth estate.
We play a significant role in subjects that are actually broached and subjects that are avoided. And it didn't escape LeBron that after the Lakers win, in the aftermath of this whole stuff with Jerry Jones, regardless of what your position may be, he wasn't even asked. Now, that some people in the media will say, well, he's an NFL owner. You're an NBA player. Kyrie's a contemporary. But that doesn't wash.
That's BS.
Because you've asked LeBron about a multitude of things that were not basketball related. So why did you ask him about this now? The fact that he pointed that out, he is 1,000% right on the money. And if you're the media member in that room last night and you didn't ask LeBron a question about Jerry Jones, you should be looked upon with a raised eyebrow by LeBron James and all his contemporaries in the world of professional sports, because you would have done it in another situation.
Can I ask one question? I want to piggyback on what you said. And obviously, even if people are absolving Jerry Jones of being 14 years old, you brought up it's a grotesque moment in history, and you're absolutely right. So it's an opportunity to say, even if you're saying, you know, I was there being curious, et cetera, an opportunity to condemn that and to condemn what's happened. Do you think that was a missed opportunity, Stephen A., by Jerry, that he should have been more elaborate on it and that moment
absolutely.
In history?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't change my position about a photo being held against him.
Yeah.
But two things can be true. That, pointing that out, if you want to address his situation and his history, and his questionable history, that's fine. But to use the photo to do it of a 14-year-old, my point is, do we really want, I don't know what the hell I did as a teenager. A lot of us don't want that Pandora's box open. The flip side to it, however, is that that doesn't make you wrong with a syllable you uttered about the missed opportunity Jerry Jones had. Jerry Jones, and this is not the first time, he's missed opportunities with Kaepernick. He's missed opportunities with social justice issues. He's missed opportunities when it pertained to Trump. He ultimately took a knee in 2017, but that was after the former president called NFL players sons of bees and stuff like that. Only after that did he finally take a knee. And guess what? When he had that meeting with his players, according to what I was told, when he told the players, this is a business meeting down here in Texas. Okay? If you are going to do something like that, the audience here, our constituency, is going to interpret that as unpatriotic, which could affect our bottom line. If it affects our bottom line, we're going to make sure it affects your bottom line. That's what he said. So my point is, there are a multitude of situations that have occurred over the last half decade or so where you can make an absolutely formidable argument that Jerry Jones had missed an opportunity. But that doesn't mean that photo should be indicative of that.
But here's why I disagree with you, though, Stephen, because the photo is a piece of the bigger body of work, and that's what people are referring to, right? It's the entire body of work. Mm-hmm. So it's all those things you just elaborated on, and then people see the photo, they're like, well, hold on, damn.
Right.
But it's like a piece of the puzzle that you've never seen before. You're like, well, I insert that here. Wow. That makes it look and feel very different. And I will say this to add on to everything that you were on point about. And that's why I ask again, I need him to denounce racism, because when you're silent these days, Stephen A., you're complicit. You're complicit when you're silent.
Well, you can say that. I agree with you. But I also understand in this day and age, and I'm not talking about Jerry Jones right now. I'm just talking about generic statement you made in general. There is these days where a syllable or a sentence can cost you so much. Now, he should be worried about that as a damn billionaire, and he shouldn't be worried about that, especially if your heart is in the right place. But I'm just speaking generically. When you talk about that, I don't mind. I sit in this chair every day. You don't mind. You sit in your chair every day. But there's a whole bunch of people that are high, that are very well known, celebrities, rich and famous, that don't want no parts of these issues because they know a syllable can be misinterpreted and could cost them everything. So you did, in this day and age, I'm saying to you, the way we have become as a society, even though I don't give a damn and I'm going to say what the hell I feel, there are a lot of people who don't want that smoke.
Yeah, but then it's your moral compass versus the bottom line and what's more important to you as a person.
Well, like you said, that's exactly my point, though. That's a decision. It's a decision.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, when I watched Tyler Adams and he pronounces Iran, and it's Iran, and the reporter asking about racial discrimination. Like, everybody is answering these type of questions around the world, the World Cup.
Well, not everybody. Well, Jay, you know a lot of people. You know a lot of people that run the hell away from the microphone and the
Stephen
camera.
A.
You know that.
Jerry Jones talks about everything under
the
sun.
Which is why.
He runs away from nothing.
Which is why we called him out.
with Kaepernick and the social justice issues and how silent and conspicuously absent he was. Because we said, you talk all other times. Why the hell you ain't talking now? Say something, Jerry. We said it on this show. Speak up, Jerry. Where you at? We called him out on that because what you so silent? But then you had players coming to his defense. Black players coming to his defense.
It's okay.
And that calling happens. Us out for calling him out.
It's okay. I mean, you're allowed to see two sides of the coin. Things are going to be seen differently. Being black or being any color isn't being monolithic, right?
I understand.
Like, it's the same. I commend LeBron James. And I want to take this opportunity because it's important to me for where you and I are in life. Like, I thank you for having a platform that allows us to have these type of conversations, my man. Because, no, it's a massive platform. And like you just said, media doesn't like to have these type of conversations.
No.
You saw that with LeBron James the other day. LeBron James had to force his own way to find a way to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it was worth him saying.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say thank you for allowing us to have this conversation. Because it's really not allowed in a lot of places.
Listen. But
no,
it was allowed.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of shows that, you're right, we tackle a lot of issues on First Take that other shows don't tackle.
You know me, I run from nothing. And at the end of the day, you know, in the end, the folks in that media, if I was a member of the media in that room last night and I didn't ask him a question, and LeBron had to confront us like that, I'm not throwing shade on any of my contemporaries. I know what it's like. I was a beat writer for 17 years. I was a columnist, the whole bit. It's hard. But you got to go home and look in the mirror last night after LeBron said what he said. If you are a journalist in that room, because there is no excuse that he wasn't asked that question. None. Not because it's LeBron. Other people that you just ask basketball questions to, that's different. Anything that happens, they go and ask LeBron. But suddenly, they didn't ask him about it, where he had literally, think about that. Just think about this for a second. A professional athlete who it's exhausting for him to do these interviews sometimes. And he's a professional at all times.
And in the offseason,
in the offseason, goes and he lives his life and what have you. A professional athlete confronted the media about not asking him a question. Think about that.
Yeah.
Not asking
him a
question.
Well, he capitalized on the moment.
Yes,
what we're talking about, what you would have liked Jerry to do. He capitalized on it. He used it as a teaching moment.
The ultimate,
and people are going to think about that moving forward.
It was the ultimate call out. And Kyrie did it in his way.
Yep.
But LeBron, who didn't agree with what Kyrie did, still supported him because in the end, as black people, we know what time it is and we speak up about it, which is why I spoke up on behalf of Kyrie Irving when they tried to put the list of demands that they wanted from him in order for him to return, which I found to be egregious insult and insulting. And LeBron James reminded everybody of that last night. To have to remind the media, that's just it's a bad day for the media.
I'm just going to say this, too. Calling it out is step one. Very similar to I was on air with you around Colin Kaepernick. You said he called it out. The next step is the actionable items. And that's where I refuse to let him off the hook here. I'm going on TV holding Jerry Jones accountable, Stephen A. Yeah. And we need to start doing this more. It's important for us to hold Jerry Jones accountable, to ask him to denounce racism, and to really tell us what the experience has been like, what he's learned. Yeah. I think that's an important teaching moment for this
country. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem
with
that.
But I wonder if the media will hold that same energy towards what we're asking the people to do.
I would assume he's going to be asked. Jerry would be
asked. He better be asked. We should ask
him. He does a weekly radio appearance with 105.3 The Fan, and I'm assuming they would absolutely, after LeBron addressed this last night.
And I hope he doesn't deflect again. If he deflects again, that's going to be a bigger problem.
He probably will say no. I'm happy to invite Jerry Jones on First Take. I'm happy to fly to Dallas and interview Jerry Jones myself and ask him the very questions that Jay just brought up. But in the end, I'm going to stand back from there. I'm going to stand by this perspective. LeBron is absolutely right. I know you're talking about the photo. The photo is what is dicey to me because I said this on my podcast, when white folks catch a cold, black folks catch pneumonia. And there's certain boxes, when you talk about opening it, if we could sit up there and lean on a photo from 66 years ago, knowing the times that those were, and we can do that, be careful about what can come back at us. Because that's what I'm thinking about. Because at the end of the day, Jerry don't have to say another word. you and everybody else, me and everybody, going to think whatever we want about Jerry.
That was done purposefully.
That's right. That's it.
I mean, I saw you the first day.
That's right.
And I looked at the whole, I went online to check out the entire diversity of that entire Washington Post. That was interesting, too, now.
That's right.
The pot on the kettle black. So it takes to the tangle now.
That's right.
We can dig deeper into this if we really need to.
Absolutely. And a lot of people wouldn't want us to.
No.
Oh, they don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want that.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Oh, you know what time it is. Time for Orlov's Keys. Let's go. Dan, what is the key to the Jets and Vikings game this week? Talk to me.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins playing essentially hot potato. How quickly can he say no to number one? This West Coast offense that he lives in, how fast he gets the ball out of his hands versus a defensive line with the New York Jets, that's awesome. The Jets have a defensive line, can rush the passer just as good as anybody. They play a ton of zone defense. He's got to do a good job, Kirk Cousins, of managing that defensive line, because if he allows, especially early on in that game, this defensive line to start get going and thinking they could dominate the game, they will. How fast he gets through things, 1, 2, 3, 4, gets the ball out of his hands against that zone defense and being completion-oriented, it's going to go a long way to seeing if they can beat this Jets.
Dan, there's another game I'm really interested in. That would be the Dolphins and the Niners. Talk to me about your key there.
Anticipation. Tua is the best in the league at it right now. Seeing things before they happen. And again, this is not all that different than playing against the Jets defense, a la Robert Saleh's defenses. You know, you're playing against a team with a great defensive line that plays a ton of zone coverage. Tua does such a good job of seeing where his receivers are going to be, where the windows of the defense are. And with his left tackle, Teron Armstead, not playing, Nick Bosa is, Tua's going to have to get the ball out of his hands real quickly to spots. And as good of a job as he can do of realizing and trying to get defenders to pay attention to his eyes and how much he lies to them to move guys to open up some of those windows to replace a Jalen Waddle or a Tyreek Hill too, that's going to go a long way to seeing if they can have success against the defense that I think is as good as anybody's in the NFL.
All right, Dan, no one breaks it down better than you. Looking forward to both those matchups and this. The 9-2 Chiefs travel to Cincinnati to face the 7-4 Cincinnati Bengals this Sunday with two axes to grind, looking for revenge on two bitter losses to the Bengals. That was in January 2022. So there's the first matchup. Ja'Marr Chase went off, setting a Kansas City franchise record for the most receiving yardage allowed to an opposing player, along with three TDs. In that second matchup, Mahomes sacked four times, keeping the Chiefs from winning their third consecutive AFC championship. Here's Mahomes on a revenge game.
I don't know if it means more. I think you got to keep stuff in perspective. It's a brand new football season. Obviously, anytime that someone beats you the year before, you want to beat them, especially in a game like they beat us in to go to the Super Bowl.
All right, let me give you a little more context. So last year, Burrow and the Bengals found a lot of success against Mahomes and the Chiefs. Cincinnati went 2-0 against Kansas City with one win in the regular season, the other in that thrilling 27-24 overtime win in the AFC Championship. The Bengals averaged 417 yards per game against the Chiefs, which is a little more than over 60 yards than they averaged against all other opponents. Dan, do the Bengals have the best chance to keep the Chiefs from the Super Bowl?
If they keep playing the way they are, absolutely. And this boils down to, first, we have to see what it looks like.
Hold on. What kind of an answer is that, if they play the way that they playing? I mean, it's a yes or no, my brother. I mean, what do you mean, if they playing the way? I mean, if they're playing the way they playing. I mean,
coming from you?
That's right, coming from me.
Coming from me?
Yes.
You're the king of, well, I don't know. Maybe. But I got to see.
That's not true.
That's you and Keyshawn.
You have been listening to the
Keyshawn.
Wrong brother.
That's Keyshawn.
Such a lie.
I don't know.
He's not right, first lady. Stop it. That is not true. That is false. That is not true.
The Cincinnati Bengals in the last 6 weeks are a very different team than they were the first month of football. So if they keep playing the same way that they have these last 6 weeks, they're the team that's – this is my point, Stephen A., and this is why I need you to listen. We have to go to what it takes and or what it looks like to knock off the Chiefs. What do you need? First of all, you got to handle the Chiefs' 12 personnel. One back, two tight ends. They've become a team that wants to put multiple tight ends on the field. So you got to handle that. Second of all, do you have somebody that can handle Travis Kelce? Not everybody does. Third of all, do you have a smart enough defense and play caller, Lou Anarumo, that can manipulate and handle the pocket on Patrick Mahomes? Not every team in the AFC is capable of doing that. That's handling the Chiefs' offense. The Bengals are one of those teams that you could say yes to. I think the Bills and the Dolphins are another team that does. And then you gotta, on the flip side, have receivers that can whip man coverage one-on-one on the outside. Check for the Bengals. They're doing this all without Ja'Marr Chase, who I expect to come back hopefully in the next week or two and continue to play at a really high level. So if the Bengals in their offensive line continue to play this way, and Joe, that has now settled in coming off of not playing at all for 6 or 7 months because of the surgery in the training camp, and Ja'Marr comes back healthy, they're the team that is most built to beat Kansas City, that has the most boxes checked to beat Kansas City. I do agree that Buffalo is up there, but I got to see what's going on with Von Miller. And I got to see if they can stay healthy with Milano and Poyer. And I got to see what's going on with Deion Dawkins, their left tackle. Cincinnati's healthier than Buffalo. That's a huge part of this conversation. So that's why the Bengals are absolutely, because they're built to do so.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for taking the position that you've taken and articulating your thoughts the way that you did. Because there's no way I could lose this debate, because all I got to say is if. All I got to do is preface everything I have to say with if. If, because you certainly did. So you give me the license to do so. All right, Ja'Marr Chase is supposed to be back.
You can tell me Steelers.
If he's healthy. All right, if he's healthy. If Joe Burrow stays healthy. I get all of this. Here's my position. In all seriousness, I'm going to roll with the Bills on this as the biggest threats. Because I think the level of urgency is what really, really tips the scales for me.
I'm going to put you in a blender right now.
No, seriously. I'm being dead serious. I know you're right. I'm not disputing what you're saying in terms of Cincinnati checking all the boxes, in all seriousness. I just want to break this down to you, because sometimes urgency works against you and sometimes it works for you. See, Cincinnati didn't have any expectations last year. They came out like gangbusters. We saw what Joe Burrow could do. Ja'Marr Chase is that dude. T. Higgins ain't no joke. We get all of that. We see what they can bring to the table, okay? We also saw them wet the bed on Halloween night against the Cleveland Browns, which was inexplicable in a lot of our eyes. What the hell happened to them that particular night? But we understand that was an aberration, because they won the last five games that they played outside of that over the last 7 weeks or so, because they had a bye week. Here's my point to you. Buffalo's been knocking at that door. And to me, to use a basketball analogy, I equate it with the Detroit Pistons, the bad boy Pistons of the 80s. They'd lose to Larry Bird in Boston. You know, they'd lose to the Lakers, you know, in the finals and stuff. Enough is enough. They're like, this is our time. Right. And they stepped up and they're like, there's no way we're going down right now. And then they beat Boston at the Silver Dome and McHale is walking off the court. And you think sworn enemies or so we believe. And then we see him and Isaiah Thomas give each other a pound because McHale was like, go get it done. Now you got over this step finally. Now go get it done. They didn't get it done that year. They got it done the year after when they won back-to-back titles. Okay, but I'm just saying when I look at the Buffalo Bills and I look at the Josh Allen and I look at the Diggs and I look at the Gabe Davis and these brothers and the Singletary running out of the backfield, everything about the Buffalo Bills just says to me we've been knocking and knocking and knocking on the door. So when we talk about the biggest threats, if we just threw out there, Orlovsky, okay, who's going to win the AFC? I could say the Chiefs, you could say the Bills, or vice versa, or whatever. But when we ask the question, who's the biggest threat to the Chiefs, meaning the Chiefs are the target, if there's one team I think wants it more that would be highly motivated to the oomph degree, it would be the Bills. And I'm counting on that working for them instead of against them, knowing that you're right in terms of Cincinnati checking all the necessary boxes.
I don't disagree with you. I think the Bills, when they're fully loaded, are the team to beat, not Kansas City. But they're not right now. Right. Micah's been out all year. I want to see what Tre'Davious White looks like as he gets back it and healthy. Poyer's missed time. Milano's missed time. Von Miller, we don't know what his long-term prognosis is. And that's why I've said, Stephen A., like, if they come in a week or two and Von's the swelling down in the knee and he's going to be out for the rest of this year, I think you got to go get Odell Beckham Jr. And so, because it's outscore him rather than stop him more. So, why if they're full strength, I'm with you. But they've been kind of picked off one by one with the injuries. And this is why I say, I sit here and say Kansas City is built to knock off the Chiefs in a certain way. I think it's hard for me to sit here and hear you go, well, the Patriots have to win tonight because they don't have a shot into the playoffs, but then bring up urgency for Buffalo. If Buffalo's got urgency to beat the Chiefs, then they better have urgency to beat New England tonight.
Well, I'm talking about the urgency once you're in the playoffs and the opponent that you're going up against. The conversation about the Patriots and the Bills earlier, for me, was that New England needs to make the playoffs. I have no doubt in my mind that the Bills are going to be in the postseason. I have serious doubts as to whether or not the Patriots are going to get there. So okay. To me, that explained the urgency of the moment for tonight for the Patriots. It's two different conversations.
We disagree on that, but you believe that the way the Bills are playing right now and the way they're constructed health-wise, they're the biggest threat to KC?
No.
Are you assuming?
I believe once the playoffs begin, the
Vaughn's
Buffalo
back?
Bills will be the biggest threat to Kansas City.
Vaughn back?
Yes.
All right, so if Von Miller's back and playing the way that Von is capable of playing, and Tre'Davious is back, and they have no issues with Poyer and Milano, yeah, then I think it's both Cincinnati and Buffalo are right there.
I'm just saying, Dan, you're throwing out those ifs, but that's our expectation.
But that's a reality, Stephen A.
But listen, but when you walk in, like Micah Hyde's going, he's out for the year, but when you go into the season, you make a prognostication. Why? It's based on the personnel they have available to them. Of course they have to perform. We understand that. But I'm saying, looking at their personnel, and understanding what their goal is for this season and how conceivable it is based on the talent they have available to them. Yeah. I believe come postseason, they're going to be a bigger threat to Kansas City than Cincinnati.
But you're also saying if those guys are back, you're saying the same thing as me.
You said take all of those things into consideration. You also added, but they got to be playing well. I'm saying I'm assuming if they're back, they'll be playing well.
Unfortunately, agree to disagree because it's time to go. Mahomes
and
Burrow
rank
first and second respectively in pass TDs, and the Chiefs are favored by 2.5. He's getting a lot of strays this morning. Coming up,
look at those ears.
Lakers, would you stop? His outfit's fantastic. You haven't complimented it once.